Well, as I say, that Christmas story that we've sung about through those five verses is what we're all about. But everybody who is a Christian and comes to know the person behind Christmas has a story to tell. So we're going to hear now from Danny, his story. So you may have received an invite to the service today, and that had a very sort of short version of Danny's story. We're going to hear a bit more detail. But in the leaflet, you said a little bit about where you're from. Yes. So first, tell us your full name, and then a little bit about where you're from and what it's like there.
Okay. My name is Danny Koop Lian Lal. You can call me Danny. The surname is a bit tricky. I was born in a remote village in the northeastern part of India called Manipur State. It's a very rural area with small community. It's not very much well known and bordering Burma in India.
So quite remote from everywhere and anything.
Yes.
So some pictures.
Yes, I've got some pictures here. The picture here is a typical village where is where I was born, and these are some of the changes, some development, as you can see, some differences. So it's quite remote and rural, I would say.
Tell us a bit about what it's like growing up there as a child.
Growing up as a child, I really struggled. I was abandoned by my father and didn't have, I grew up with my mother, with my grandparents. Back home, culturally, the stigma of being a child without a father, and also for my mother being a widow, is quite a thing that, the stigma is high, and we were looked down, not exactly as an outcast, but we had people look at us in a very different way, and it was really difficult. And my mother tried her best, and she started weaving clothes to try and support me. This would be the way they weave with their hands, and it would usually take about 3 to 4 weeks for one to be completed, and my mother would be able to sell it for about 500 rupees, which would be around approximately £5. And it's almost like a month's wage. And with that, she has to go to the jungle to collect firewood and also find a livelihood. And it was difficult. And the lady up there is my auntie, my mother's younger sister. She's also still living in the village, trying to fend for herself. And the little pattern here is the clothes my mother would be weaving. It's quite beautiful and intricate. Previously, it was about the price was less, but now, because of the demand, price have increased a little bit. So this is how my mother did to support me. But then after some time, she find it really difficult for me to go on. And then my early childhood life, I think I was about 5-6 years old when I started to help out in the family. Some of the pictures, I don't have pictures of my childhood, so what I did, I tried and Google and see what can most be realistic and what depicts my early childhood.
So your mum was struggling to look after you, maybe struggling as well because you were probably out and about doing your thing.
Yes.
So you ended up in an orphanage?
Yes. I would be collecting firewood as a child to help my mother, and also my grandparents, they have a flock of water buffaloes. So that was one of the livelihood that keeps them. So in a very early childhood, I was about 5 years old when I started to graze a flock of about 12 buffaloes on my own. It was tough, but that's what we had to do. And the other one is making charcoal in the jungle, cut firewood, dig a pit, and make charcoals and sell them. And my mother knew that this was not a way forward for me. And finally, with all the difficulties, she finally made the decision to give me up to an orphanage home where I can get education get a place to stay and meet my needs.
How were things in the orphanage? What, I mean, what was that like?
I went into the orphanage when I was 7 years old. It was really tough. But then the good thing about being in the orphanage home is that we were brought up in a very Christian environment, because the orphanage home is a Christian missionary work. And one significant person, I would say, Tonya K. Slayton, is from USA. She, by faith, she never met me, but she heard about me, and then she took a leap of faith and decided to sponsor me. And so she's been providing me for my education, my care, until my graduation. So she's a very significant person in my life. And while I was in the orphanage home, I dedicated my life and to the Lord as my personal Savior, Jesus Christ, in June 1995. I remember this very well, because after I accepted Christ, I was baptized. And the orphanage home where I lived in was by the bank of a river, and June is monsoon, so the river was flooding. And we were standing on the bank of the river with the pastor who was trying to baptize men, and we slipped and fell, and we swept by the current, and then somehow we got back to the other side of the bank.
So you remember that day well, how could you forget it? But how big a difference did it make in your life at that point? How was things?
I was 13 when I dedicated my life to Christ, and I would very frankly say that I didn't really grasp the significance of my dedication. It was a very slow and gradual process. I was brought up in a very Christian environment, and everything was so routine. And I thought that it was something automatic, that if I do this, if I go to the church, and I would be a Christian. But then it really wasn't that way. And it was until months later on that I started to realize the significance of being a Christian and how I should be really leading my life.
During the time in the orphanage, it was tough. There were many things that happened, and I'm sure there's so many stories that Danny could tell us. But let's fast forward, if you want to know more about how things were during that time in the orphanage, chat to him afterwards. But let's fast forward. So Tanya supported you to study, and you ended up in Mumbai.
Yes.
And obviously that was great in terms of your education, but there was a sort of development as well in your understanding of of God and the Bible. And
yes.
So tell us a bit about that.
After my graduation, I went on to do my master's program through a merit scholarship. And while in the university, I was doing my master's in social work. One significant event in my life unfolded where the pastor in the university started to mentor and pray for me. And when he heard about my story, I started to tell him more about the anger, the frustration, and the hatred that I had about my father for abandoning us. Now, when I in the initial stage, I said that the stigma of a widow and an orphan boy is quite not a pleasant thing. And I held on to that and blamed my father for all me and my mother had gone through. And I was so full of hatred that in my teenage life, before I went to the university, I even learned Kung Fu, not as a self-defense, but with the real intent of causing harm to my father. And to that extent, I really hated him, and I never wanted to talk to him, never wanted to have anything to do with him. But the pastor in my church in the university started to pray for me and taught me that as a true believer, as a Christian, we need to learn to forgive. And he encouraged me to reconcile with my father. It was a really difficult thing for me to decide. I was quite grown up. I was in my university, and I'm very much well aware about what I could and could not do. It was a very difficult moment. It took almost 3 years for me to reconsider my pastor's advice, and he's been praying for me. So after I completed my master's degree, I made the ultimate decision that yes, as a Christian, this is the right thing to do. it was difficult. I struggled a lot, but then with the help from God and the strength, I summoned all my courage and I went back home and said to my father, I had all these feelings about you. I'm sorry. I want to start a new relationship. And I think that was quite a significant impact in my life. The hatred, I was so full of hatred and anger. And when I went and had a personal meeting with my father, all those burden inside me just disappeared. And I just feel so light and so new.
So at the heart of the Christian message is a message of forgiveness, isn't it? That we receive God's forgiveness. And so as you were mentored by that pastor and he showed you the word, the impact was that you were to forgive others, which for you must have been a massive challenge, but God clearly was at work in your life. Yes. How's God been at work in your life since? Bring us up to date with...
Right. Okay. Yes, after I reconciled with my father, I was awarded the Ford Foundation Fellowship for my master's program. And soon after I reconciled with my father, I got married. And after I got married, I went with two scholarships. I came to Leeds University and did my master's in international public health. I felt that how things have progressed, if I had not followed the word of God or trusting God, and even in the context of going to my father and rebuilding the relationship, I don't know if I ever would have received the scholarship to be able to come for further education. Now, in the process of my studies, I studied in Leeds University from September 2011 and completed my universities. Now, one significant thing in this event is when I completed my degree, the Ford Foundation, when we were selected for the scholarship, we were told that we have an expectation that after you finish your graduation, your master's program, any university, our expectation is that you return back to your country and serve at least for a year. And so we agreed to that. It wasn't like a bone sign, but we verbally agreed to that. And when I completed my university, some of my colleagues from India who came along with me, they decided, who really cares? We're going to stay back here. We're not going to go back to our country. Because once we go back, when would we ever get the opportunity to come back here and live in a country like this? So they decided to stay back. And I was so tempted to do the same because I thought if I had to go back to my country with so much hardships and so high unemployment, how am I going to get this? How am I ever going to get this opportunity again? I was so tempted to stay back and do like what my friends do. But then I remember what I discussed with the people during the interview. So I called the pastor and asked him, I'm really confused. I know it's the right thing to come back, but humanly speaking, this is the dilemma that I'm facing. So the pastor advised me in a very simple way and said, you made an agreement with people, and that commitment is a commitment that you made with God. So it's best that you fulfill what you've said, come back. If God wills, God will prepare another way. You have to trust in the Lord and just believe that he will lead you on. So with that advice, it was, humanly speaking, it was really difficult for me. So honestly, I was very reluctant, but I decided to follow the advice. And I felt and I believed that God will open the way if he will. So I came back to India. It was challenging. A lot of questions from people. Why did you ever come back? And, you know, and importantly, I couldn't find a job after I returned back for almost half a year. And I was really struggling. But then prayer, support, and trusting in the Lord, I got a job. And exactly after a year of my service as a consultant in public health, I got a message from my email saying that there is a job vacancy for social workers under shortage of occupation, And then when I look at the time of the notice that I received and when I look at the expectation that I had committed to, it just fulfilled the time period that I was expected to do. And I can't help myself but say that this is God's doing.
Amen. So that's what, and then, so the next slide, is it, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, that's when I came with the blessings of God. I came to the UK to work as a social worker with the Royal Greenwich And one thing that I learned from here is that if I had not listened to the voice of God and had stayed back illegally, I mean, to try and get the opportunities and just trust on my own decision, I would never have come to this point, and I wouldn't be here standing in front of you all. And I sometimes it's quite tempting to trust in our own decisions, thinking that it's for our best. But what God has for us, the plan that God has for us, is so much better that we just can't see it with our human eyes. And without just trusting in the Lord, without being able to trust in God, I don't think humanly it's not possible for us to see what God has in store for us. And I've learned this in a very strange way.
You've gone through a lot of difficulties, struggles through your life, and as a Christian you've faced these dilemmas and so on. Is there one particular lesson you've learned from that, or one verse that you would sort of sum up as you look back on your life?
Yes. Yes, I could. If you go to the next slide, please. Just before that, after I came to the UK, my longtime sponsor, Tonya K. Slayton from the USA, came traveling to meet with me. So after 28 years of correspondence and prayers and support, she finally came to meet me here. And it was very emotional, and I was really happy to see her. So this is the wonderful woman who had been behind me all my life and with whose help and support I've been able to reach to these days. God had used her very powerfully, and I'm so much grateful to her. And just summing up all my life experiences, the Bible verse that kept me going despite the various feeling down and being helpless is that we all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And despite those moments when I feel so down and helpless, when I was in the orphanage home, this Bible verse was taught to me when I was in the orphanage home at a very young age. It kept ringing in my ears. When I fell down, when I felt there's no one to help me, when I felt there's no way ahead, it's always this Bible verse that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And it's very simple, but this is something that has kept me going. And I really am thankful that the word of the Lord, the word of God, is always that thing that drives me and keeps me moving ahead.
Great. Thank you.